Okay, again, my email is p.grosser@rcn.com. p.grosser@rcn.com. And I should have gotten an email from everyone at some point, because you're supposed to email me once a week. Okay, so I should have got an email from you that tells me that you're in the class. Okay? And I definitely want to get an email from you this week. Okay, so send me an email. You've got an assignment that's due Thursday. If you send me the assignment, then we're fine. But if for some reason you don't send me the assignment, I need an email from you so that I can check you off as being in the class. Okay? Okay. What we're going to do now is go into the box, the icon that says CIS software. Okay? And if you don't have it, it probably means you didn't log into K-Building. You have to pick in that second thing that comes up when you log in, you have to pick CIS K-Building in order to get the right icon over here. And CIS software is the one you're looking for. Okay? You also should have gotten an email giving you a password that you can use to log into CIS Web. They probably called it a Linux password, right? Okay. So you need to know that password. So what we're going to do is you go to CIS software, okay, and you click on that. And down at the bottom it says WinSCP, okay? Now that is the software that we use here to allow us to upload things to the server. WinSCP is free, so you can get it at home as well. So you can download WinSCP at home if you want to have a copy of it at home. But WinSCP is the software we use to upload to the server. And there's other software, and if anybody is comfortable uploading to servers and have done it and they've got another software, that's fine. But if you haven't done this before, I would suggest you use the one that we use just to be compatible. Okay, so it's WinSCP. So if I click on WinSCP, okay, this is what comes up. Okay, so this is where I am going to log in. What I've got here in the background is it is showing this is the computer that you've got in front of you. It's where you can bring up your flash drives. Anything that's local can be seen over there. This will be where the server stuff will be, okay, over on that side. So, the first thing you're going to do is put in the host. And the host is CIS Web, cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Okay, so the host is cisweb.bristolcc.edu. That's the host. Okay, our server is called CIS Web, and it's located at Bristol CC, and so that's the address you're going to put in. The handout that I gave you that goes with this has bristol.mass.edu. That used to be the way we did it, but now you're going to change that .mass to say CC. Okay, so it's bristolcc.edu. Then you're going to put your username in here and your password in over there, and you don't touch anything else. Okay, you leave everything else as is. So you're going to put in your username, and your username has numbers on it. Mine for this doesn't because I predated it. So they gave me my own password. Okay, so you're going to put in your username and your Linux password that they sent to you. Okay? And once those are in, you just hit login. It comes up and tells you all the things you should know about being a responsible person.
Do we save?
Play you with the login.
Okay. And then go in. If you don't, yeah, that's right. You have a different setup sometimes.
So do we hit save?
Yeah. Go ahead and try.
And then click OK.
Yeah.
Yeah, all it is.
Eric, you've got the same thing, so would you walk them through that? Because mine works. When you do the save.
Yeah, they can't save on this anyway, so it don't matter.
Okay, so what do you do?
When I get
saved. I guess it's wrong.
Want to say that out loud for everybody? Because I think there's a lot of people.
Yeah, so you don't have to save it. You just have to, if you click login, it's going to prompt you for your username and password anyway. From home, you can save it, like from your own computer, but these, you just can't.
Access denied.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so basically what he's saying is that apparently you go ahead and hit save, and then you can go ahead and do it. If you press hit login, it will prompt you at a later
after
time.
After the save, you have to click OK.
Password. Pardon me?
After the save, you have to click OK.
Okay. So you click save and then OK. If you just hit login here, it apparently prompts you for the username and password. And I forget that they made mine work beautifully.
Well, it just asks for the password again.
Right. This just resets everything.
Yes.
You need that.
You have a question?
Nah. I'm just happy.
Okay. Yep. Who is this?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that I actually
did that. I apologize. That's okay. I'm just going to kill myself. I don't want to trip. Okay.
So the tuner.
Not till the course is over. Okay, so you put in CISWestBristolCC.edu. You apparently play around with save and then hit an OK or something like that. Or you can come down and hit login and it will ask you for username and password.
No.
But with some magic way, you're going to be able to get in. Okay? If you set this up at home, you can do it the way I did, which is ignore the save, ignore the advance, and just hit login, and it works fine. But for some reason, they gave that to me and not to you. Yeah.
Can't you also just log in through Putty?
I don't want to go in through Putty.
Oh.
Okay, that's one more level. Yes, you can. Do I want to do that? No. Okay, I want people to get used to doing this way and not introduce Putty.
Is there a significant difference between the two?
No, it's just easier. So, I've now gone in, and when I hit login, or whatever magic you do, and then continue, I am now inside. Now, I got a lot of junk here. You are not going to see anywhere near what I'm seeing, okay? Work that you're going to do has to be done in public HTML. So you're going to click on public HTML. And that's where you're going to save your work. Now, I've got, as I said, a gazillion things saved out here. You don't have much of anything saved, probably. They may have one thing out there for you. So, what I would like you to do now is hopefully you have some HTML on a floppy or something like that. So let's find something and bring it over. So I'm going to go over here and I'm going to go to my E drive because I believe I have something on my E drive. And I do. I have first HTML. So I went over to my E drive and I found the HTML that I wrote last week, which was first HTML. Okay? And now I can drag it over to here. So I can just drag it over and drop it. It will come up and say, do I want to upload it? And I do. And so I can just say okay. And it already contains first HTML. Do I want to overwrite it? Sure. And now I've got something. So there is my first HTML that I put up there. So if you drag it over, you will have a first HTML up there. Okay? Is everybody getting something over on the drive? No. You have something to take over. Okay, do you have an HTML that you wrote? Look over here and see if there's HTML. Hopefully you have a HTML that you put on some drive. Okay. If you don't, you can go and take one of my HTMLs and download it and then put that up. So you can take one of my examples and use that. But I'd like you to find something that you can put up there. Okay? Something that says .html. And again, you can take one of mine and download it and then put it back up. Yeah. So, let's see. You go to your N drive, right? There is my documents, yeah? There's your N drive. No, we don't have anything on that N drive. Okay. On one of those, so yeah. Yeah, the N drive, though, it should be on anything. Okay, so you can do this. You can view the page source. I'm just going to copy that. Okay, so I've made a copy of a program I have. Now I come over here, and I can actually go in to the server, okay, and I can say file new file. And I'm going to call this another.html. So I went in and I said file new. So I'm making a new file over here. File new. I say okay. And I just paste in some code that I have. So I just went over to mine and I copied a piece of code. And I then came in here and created a new one. Okay, so again, and I will do it again. Okay. I've got to take a picture of it first. Save changes, yes. And I now should have another.html. Except I don't know where I put it. Huh. All right. So, again, if you do this, I went over to, okay, I went to my home page. I went to examples. I picked an example, any example you want, and I clicked on it. Then I said, view page source. Now I've got the page source. I copied it. So I'm doing a copy of that code. Okay, I'm doing a copy of that code. So if you don't have something to drag over, you can do it this way. So I'm making a copy of my code. And anyway, you can do this way anyway. I made a copy. And so now I'm going to go into the server. And it, notice this is a little darker than this. Whichever one I click on is going to be the one that I am going to put something into. So if I wanted to put it over here, I'd click over there, that becomes darker. If I want to put it over here, I click here and that becomes darker. Okay? So I've got a bunch of stuff over here. And I am going to say file, new file. Okay, so I'm saying create a file, file, new file. And I'm going to call it January 31st, 2017.html. Okay, so that's what I decided to name it, is January 31st, 2017.html. Then I say OK, and I paste in here the code that I copied. Okay, so I paste in the code I copied, and now I'm going to save it. Okay, and I think I didn't save it last time. I'm going to save it. And now, if I go out from here, and I go into my folder, I will find January 1st is what I'm looking for. There it is. Is January 31st, 2017. There it is. So I can create that file and put it up there. Okay. Lots of times I just create something on my hard drive or on my flash drive and save it as .html and then I just drag it over. Okay, I don't usually do it online. I usually create it in Notepad offline and then drag it up after I've created it. But you can go either way. And then if you want to see the code, you click on it, and then you click on Edit. You right-click and click on Edit. And there it is. There's the code. Okay. So if I right-click on any of my code and then click on Edit, I will see it. So I right-click and click on Edit, and I will see it. Okay? So there's my code. Has everybody got something up? Be honest, if you don't, Eric's dying to come and help you. Okay, there's two people. You two? Okay.
Okay.
actually you're going to cover HTML.
Okay.
And then you're going to cover HTML.
Yeah.
Once he finds it, he may need some help. Okay, so has everybody got something out on the web now? Okay. So, the assignment that you did this week of making a web page, next week's assignment is to get it up on the server. So you have to load that page up onto the server. Okay? And you've also got to load your picture up on the server because it's going to look for your picture, okay? And as long as your code doesn't give an address for the picture, you're fine, okay? If you load them both up, it will find them. Now, if you prefer, you can make, you can make a directory or a folder on the server. So I might go in here again to File, New, and pick Directory. File, New, Directory. And I can say CIS 120 Spring 2017. Okay, so I have now made a folder. Okay. CIS 120 Spring, and there it is. And then I can drag something over and put it in the folder. So there goes first HTML, and I dragged it into the folder. As long as you put both your page and the image in the same folder, it will find it. Just like it will do it if it's in the same folder on your hard drive or the same folder on your flash disk. It's going to find it. So put your page up there and your image, and then it will be able to find it. Okay, so now what we're going to do is we're going to look at Firefox, and we're going to look at setting up the address so that you can see it out on the web. Okay? So the first thing you have to tell it in the address is the host. So you're going to say cisweb.bristolcc.edu. So that's the first thing that you're going to tell it is cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Okay. So the host is cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Okay, so the first thing you have to tell it Because again, I can be sitting in Japan and going in and seeing this. This is now available worldwide, if you know the address, anything you put out there. But the first thing I have to tell it is what server it's located on. And it's located on cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Okay, and Bristol put aside this address for us to use, cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Then you put a slash as a separator. Then you put a tilde, and the tilde is right under the escape. It's that curling line right under the escape. So you're going to put the tilde. And then you type your username. And my username doesn't have two numbers at it because I predated those, but yours will have the two numbers on it. Okay, that's your username. Okay, then I type the folder name if you used a folder. And I'm going to go ahead and type the folder name that I used. So I type the folder name, and then I type the name of the HTML page, and it tells me not found.
You have HTML.
You're right. I can't type. And that is usually my problem. Okay, and there it is. Okay, so again, the address that I typed in is you put the host, and then a slash, and then a tilde, and your username. And then if you used a folder, you use the folder. And if you have two folders, you put slash and then another folder, if you have a folder within a folder. And then you put the file name, okay, the file name. And this has a .html extension. Okay, so you put the host, which is cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Slash tilde and the username. Slash a folder name if you made a folder. If not, you skip that and just go slash file name. Okay? You do not use public HTML. If you look up here, they have a lot of stuff like home, public HTML. You don't use those. The tilde takes care of that. Okay? So you're putting the tilde followed by that. So everybody try that. Try to bring up the page that you just uploaded. Okay. So now, as I said, if you're in Germany, if you're in Japan, you can type in this address and see your page. Okay, anybody that knows your address can get to your page. Should be. Yeah, make sure it's case sensitive. And what did I just do? I just ordered out. There it is.
Well, brought up the food, and I dragged the photo in the same folder.
It should.
So I'm having the same problems.
It should be picking up. It's case sensitive.
Very case sensitive. No, this right here, the half.
Yes. Okay, so you're going to a browser, whatever browser you want, and you're putting your path in the browser. And then it will find your page and bring it up. Okay? Has everybody found a page? No.
Not yet.
If you have problems, put up your hand and let Erica or I know.
I did. I put name.html.
You called it me without HTML?
Well, because it's just, I don't have my, I put it in this folder.
Right, okay, so let's see in that folder. Okay, now do you have embedded spaces in that folder name? Go back out. That looks like you've got spaces.
Oh, do I have to put it all together?
Yeah, you should. Do not use embedded spaces in your names of things you are putting out on the web. Don't put embedded spaces in the folder. Don't put embedded spaces in the name. It can handle them, but if you see the embedded spaces, then an ampersand and all that become part of the address, and you don't want to deal with that. Okay? So you don't want to use embedded spaces. In other words, no spaces. You absolutely feel a necessity, you can use an underscore, or you can change cases, but don't put an embedded space. Did it come up now without the embedded space?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't create a folder.
No public HTML. Do not use public HTML. And then the, whatever, you know, what's your name of your file? With a capital I, it looks like. All right. No, there it is. Okay. So, now you've got, see, spring is the start, right? All right, so now that's what you actually call the capital S. It's case sensitive. It's a pain in the neck, but you get used to it.
Yeah, so I did the tilde.
Oh, that was it. Yes, okay. It is very case sensitive. A capital S is not a lowercase s. It's very case sensitive.
You have to take the survey, which is this right here.
You have to read the stuff, Roll Learning Styles, and take the survey.
And then just put the survey on.
Yeah. Or talk about the results of it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, is everybody able to get something up on the web and see it in the browser? Has everybody got that done? And if not, Eric's dying to help you.
See, I have this here. I removed this, but I removed that.
Did you put it in the folder?
Yeah, I did. So then you have to put that in
there. Yeah,
the only folder was the publication I found.
You don't want that in the address.
I took it out.
Okay, so that's the your address.
This is my address. Right?
It's about B underscore site. Not HTML. Go back up. You've got a folder going there, so you've got to have the about me twice.
Oh, okay, that's why. All right.
Okay. Okay. So. Your first assignment for this week is to get your site up on the web and send me the address. Okay, so your site is due this Thursday. Next Thursday, I need it to be up on the web and you need to send me the address. Okay? Now, if you know what it is, you can actually send me the address this week. And we'll be all set for the first assignment next week as well. Okay? But the assignment for this week is just to get it to me. Because we hadn't gone over how to put it up on the web. The assignment for next week, that I posted next week's assignment, well, this week's assignment is due next week, is to give me the address of your page up on the web so that I can see your web page. Okay? Anybody got any questions about what I want? Okay. So, and for some reason this whole thing is very strange, whatever it's doing. Up there, showing partials. Okay. So, the next thing we are going to do, this is a survey course. So we're done with HTML until the end of the semester when we'll go back to it again for something. But we're basically done with HTML. So now it's time to move on. And we're going to start looking at Access, which is a database. So we're going to start looking at Access. I would like you to read chapter 1 in the textbook now. And I don't think I put it up on the website, but I will. I want you to read chapter 1. Because chapter 1 is basically a vocabulary chapter. And there's a lot of vocabulary that you should be comfortable with. So I'd like you to read chapter 1, and I'll go over a few things in chapter 1 after you've read it. Okay, so what I want to do is, and I think that is also under CIS software. No, it actually isn't. Huh. Okay, Access is what I want to open. It's under Microsoft Office 2016. I thought they put it under CIS software, but they didn't. So if you go into Microsoft Office 2016 and then Access 2016. So that's what we want to work with now. Microsoft Office 2016 and Access 2016.
So the second week that's this week that's, well, no, next week that's due. You want the web on the server, you want the image, and then you want us to email you the address?
Yes. Yep. That sounds reasonable. So you're going to Office 2016, and you're clicking on Access 2016. So Microsoft Office 2016, Access 2016. Okay. So Access is a database. And it is a database that would be used mainly by small companies. If you're more serious about a database and you have a gazillion people on it, you're going to use Oracle, or you're going to use SQL Server, or you're going to use MySQL, you're going to use a different database. But Access is the one that's easy to get, and so we use Access for this course. And again, it's used by small businesses as well. You will be sent in a invitation to
imagine,
does it have another word after it, imagine vision or something, and so that you can download it. It also can be downloaded from Office 365. If you go in, to CISweb.bristolcc. If you just go to the host, if you type in the host name up here, it will take you to information about CIS, and it says in here, Microsoft Imagine, formerly DreamSpec. Okay? And it gives you information about how you can download it and all of that. Okay? So, if you go there, that will give you information about downloading it. And you can all download it from Office 365, or you can go into Microsoft Imagine, and you've got an invitation there, and you can download it from there. And it's a free download. So if you go to one of these places, it will tell you how to download it. Okay? And you can download it if you want it at home. If you are happy using our facilities, then you don't need to download it. But if you want it at home, you can download it for free. Okay? Luckily, all of the software you'll need for this course is downloadable for free using Imagine or Office 365. Okay. So, when you open Access, this is what you should see. And I want to create a blank desktop database. So I'm going to click on that. Okay? So I'm going to click on the blank desktop database. At this point, it's telling me to come up with a name for the database. So I'm going to call it Spring 2017. Okay? So I've made up a name for it. It is going to have a ACCDB extension. ACCDB. Good. Let's try that one more time. ACCDB is going to be the extension. The ACC for Access and DB for Database. Okay, right now it would be stored here. That's not where I want to store it. So I am going to hit the browse window here, and I'm going to say I want to store it on my flash drive, so I'm picking the E drive. Okay, because that's where I'm going to store it, is on my E drive. Okay. And again, I would recommend that you do flash drives. It makes it easy. If not, then you can pick the N drive and put it out on the N drive, and then you'll have it available on your N drive. Okay, yeah.
So you want us to save this file?
I'd save it. Okay, because you're basically going to do this with me. Okay? So we're going to save it here. So I'm clicking OK, and I've now got my address, which is just to the E. If I picked a folder on the E, my address would say E and then the folder name. But it's whatever I pick in the browse window is where it's going to go. Okay? And I want to be sure that I do this because it's a pain in the neck if you get into Access without having picked where you want to save it. You can eventually find it, but it kind of gets lost in the shadows. So go ahead and give it a name and then hit the create down here so that you are creating the database. Okay. So now it comes up and it talks about creating the database. Okay. Now, a database is made up of tables. And basically, each table is a file. Okay? But when they decided that the whole bunch of files were going to go together to make a database, they decided to name it a table. Okay. My honest opinion is that was a lousy name because tables also stand for arrays, some kinds of arrays. So it's a confusing name to have picked, but they didn't ask me. So, databases are made up of tables, which are essentially like a file. It's a file that's made up. Okay? And they call it a table because it looks like a graph and it has rows and it has columns. And so that makes it look like a table. Okay. On the tables, a table is going to have records or rows. The rows on the table are records, basically. And within each row, I will have columns. Okay, to contain information. And that's what we're going to do now, is we're going to create the database. Now, they are recommending that you create it one way. I don't like this way, so we're not going to create it that way. We're going to come over here, and we're going to click on View. Now, before I do that, notice it says Table. And it assumes you want to create a table, and it calls it table one. Okay? I don't like this approach. It doesn't meet my service, what I want to show you. So if you come over here and click on that thing that looks like engineering tools, okay, click on file. Okay, click on that thing that looks like engineering tools, and now I can name my table, and I'm going to call it student. Okay, you can call it another name if you prefer. I'm going to call it student. And I say okay, and at that point it comes up with what I wanted to see. Okay, which are all of the different setups to create the table. Notice it has now changed the name over here under tables, and it's calling it student. So now I am going to describe the data that I want to keep for each student. Okay, I'm going to describe the layout that I want to keep for each student. So let's say that I want to keep and have an ID, and then I want to have a name, and then I want to have a major, and then I want to have their GPA, and then I want to have the number of credits. So I want to create a table that is going to have those five columns, which are also called fields. Okay? So I am making ID number, name, major, GPA, and number of credits. Now, every student is going to have those five things. Okay? So now I'm going to start and do the layout. So I'm going to come over here, and Microsoft has a great tendency to help you out. So it decided I would call it ID. That's not what I want to call it. So I'm erasing that and saying STU ID, because that's what I want to call it. So I'm saying STU ID there. The data type that it's picking is an auto number, and I don't want that. Auto number means the first record will have a number of 1. The second record will have a number of 2. The third record will have a number of 3. Okay, how many businesses do you know, or schools do you know, that sign IDs by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Okay, they don't. They make up an ID that has some meaning. So we're going to click on this arrow here, and we can now choose the type that we want to have. Short text means that it will be made up of letters, numbers, and special characters. Any of that combination of letters, numbers, and special characters. And it's got some limit that is very high, and so it's, I think 255 is the limit on that. And we can find out if we click on it. If I click on short text, it says field size 255. So long text is nothing that I really need unless I'm pasting in my life story, because 255 is going to pretty much cover anything. So I'm going to pick short text for this. I also could have picked a number, but I'm going to pick short text because I might want to have letters in my ID, or I might want to have a special character in my ID. So I'm going to pick, even though I'm going to use numbers, I'm going to pick short text. But the field size down here is ridiculous, okay? You want to have an ID that's 255 characters long? No. So I'm going to pick a more realistic thing. I'm going to say 5. So I'm changing that to say 5 characters. So my first field has a student ID. The type is short text, and the field size is 5. If anybody gets lost, put up your hand and Eric will come around and help you. Okay, so if you get lost with this, let him know. Okay, now my next field that I said I wanted to create was the name. Okay, now notice that when I put this in, there was a mark up here, a key in symbol, and I don't have it down here. That key symbol means that it is the primary key. And there it is over here, so you can click on it. To have it, it wasn't already there. But this key symbol is the primary key. And what a primary key is it has to be unique. Okay? Which means no two students can be assigned the same ID. And that makes sense. You don't want any two students having the same STU ID. And so by making it the primary key, I am guaranteeing that it has to be unique. I cannot put in two students with the same ID. Okay. And I think I lost that. There we go. Okay. So now I've got a name. I'm going to make that also a short text. And I'm going to say 35 characters maybe. Do you think that's big enough? If not, I can make it 40. I can make it 50. I can make it whatever I want. And I should make it bigger than I want, because as soon as I decide on 35, the next person is going to have a hyphenated name that goes on and on and on, and I'm going to need 36. So make it bigger than what you think. So I've got name, and I'm putting in short text. Now, some programming things do have what they call reserved words. And lots of times, name is one that they prefer you not use. So you might decide, I think Access is fine with it, but you might, I frequently call it names and put a Z at the end. And therefore, I'm not stepping on the toes of reserved words. And then I don't have to check to see if it's a reserved word, because if I never use the word name, I never am going to step on reserved words. So you can change that to names, or name with two E's, or name without an E, or whatever you want to do. And in fact, I believe Access is fine with name, because I've done it before. Okay. So I've got the STU ID, I've got their name, I want their major. so I'm going to put major in next. And major is going to be a short text. Okay, I can make that a short text as well. And major around here is two characters. There's a two-character code for major, so I'm just going to make that two characters. Notice that I have no embedded spaces in these names. Okay? Microsoft, bless its heart, allows embedded spaces. I don't. So don't use embedded spaces, please. If you do use embedded spaces with Microsoft and you start doing something more sophisticated, the name with an embedded space has to be enclosed in square brackets. Well, that's a pain to have to write square brackets around the name every time you use it, because that tells it it's all one word. So the embedded space can be allowed. But I am asking you not to use it. Okay? Then the next thing I'm putting in is GPA. And GPA is a number. So I'm going to pick number for that. And then once I pick number, I come down here beside field size and I get some choices. And GPA is a decimal or double, and I tend to use double. So it is a double number or a decimal number, because GPA obviously has decimals in it. Okay? And now the next thing is number of credits. And I'm going to call that NUM capital CR. And that's lots of times what you do when you have two words, is you use what is called camel case. So NUM capital CR. Okay, that will be my number of credits. My number of credits is also a number. And this one I'm going to make a plain integer. Okay, because it is a whole number. You don't get a half a credit, okay? So it's a whole number and I'm making it an integer. Okay. So this is the structure that I have set up for my table, okay? Every student that I enter in will have an entry in these fields, or at least they will have the field. The field may be blank, but they will have the field. Okay? So I've got the five fields that I want set up. So this is the layout of the row, and the row is on the table, so it's really the layout of the table, because every row on the table will follow this layout. So it's the layout for the table, because every row on the table will follow this layout. And then these individual things, sometimes they're called fields, sometimes they're called columns. Okay? So, I am now all set. I'm going to come over here and click again on the thing right under file that looks like a graph this time. So I'm clicking on that. And it says you must save the table. You want to save the table now? Yes. And I've now saved the table. So at this point it comes up like this, preparing for me to put data in. Okay, so now I'm going to go ahead and put data in. My first student is going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Susan Ash, she's a CI major. Her GPA is 4, and her number of credits is 45. Okay, and then I hit enter, and I go down. And you don't have to worry about putting in the same data I do. Put in any data that you want, but put in a little variety, because I am going to do some tests, so I'm going to make John Doe a business major. And I'm going to give him a GPA of 2.5 and 20 credits. Okay? So, as I said, do a little variety in what major, what GPA, what number of courses, because we're going to be testing the data. Put in a few records there. And what you put in doesn't matter. But I've got a few records in there. Has everybody got 4 or 5 records in? Anybody having any problems?
I've got an extra table. I actually made 2. Doesn't matter.
No.
Okay.
If you're having questions, ask. Eric can come around and help you. Okay, so I've got my records created. So I've now got a table and I've got the records. Okay. And now, in the real world, I might have a couple of thousand records here, okay? And essentially, the importance of a database is it gives you the ability to query the database. That is, ask questions of the database. I want to see all the CI majors. I want to see all the CI majors that have a GPA greater than 3. I want to see, and I can query the database and get records that meet certain criteria.
Okay.
So I'm going to close up this student database. Now, what I need to remember in doing the query is the data that I have in there, with an ID, a name, major, GPA, number of credits. Okay? So I'm going to close this up, and then I'm going to hit the create button up here, and then hit query design. So I'm going to hit create, and then I'm going to hit query design. And there is my query design. So I'm hitting create. I closed my table first. Then I hit create, and then I hit query design. Okay. And it asked me what table I want to use. Well, that's a real easy question since I only have one table. Okay, so it's got it highlighted. I just say add. And then I close. So there's my table. And it's got my fields on it, and it shows me which one is my primary key. Down here, I can lay out the query that I want to do. So I want to have the student ID, so I'm going to drag that down. And there's the student ID. So right now, it's telling me the field is student ID, and the table that it came from is the student table. Okay, now another way is I can click here and select the thing that I want, in this case, name. So I've selected the thing that I want. Okay, and then I don't have to do the order. I can do a major, and then I can do number of courses, and then I can do GPA. I can do them in any order I want. And I don't have to do them all. I can be incomplete. If I don't care about the number of courses for this report, I don't have to show it. If I don't care about the GPA, I don't have to show it. So I want to see everything, but I want to see it in this order. So I bring it down, and I brought down all of the fields. Now I can come over here and do a view, click on the graph light thing over here, and it shows me my results. So there's my ID, my name, my major, and these two have been flipped because I said I wanted to do the courses first. Okay, so those have been flipped. So now I've decided, after looking at this, well, no, I want to change that. So I'm going to go back to view. And I only want to see CI majors. So I'm going to put a CI under there and put it in quotes. So I'm putting CI under there. Actually, I don't think it matters. I use double, but I don't think it matters. CI, and it has to be in quotes. In fact, if I don't put it in quotes, Microsoft will. The only problem is with CI, it thinks I wanted to write C integer, so it was trying to force me into that. And that's not what I wanted, so I kind of had to help it out and put the quote in to tell it I was done. But it has to be in quotes. So what I've got there now is I am saying that my criteria, notice the word criteria, my criteria is I want CI. Okay? That means I only want to see CI majors. So if I now go and look at the view, I only have CI majors. Okay? The BU majors are not showing. I only have the CI majors. Now, if I decide I want to save this, notice I have, by the way, before I save it, I have a toggle here. If I go back and forth between that two images right under file, I can toggle back and forth between seeing the layout and seeing the results. Okay, so now I'm going to close this by clicking on the X, and it says, do you want to save changes to the design of Query 1? I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to call it CI major, because this is showing me the CI majors. And then I say okay, and it's now showing me that it has saved a query for CI majors. So it has saved that query. Okay. So now I'm going to create another query. So I'm saying create query design, and I want to add student and close it. And now I'm going to bring down student ID, name, major, and GPA. And those are the only things I'm going to bring down here. And I want to see all CI majors that have a GPA that is greater than 3.4. Okay? So I am writing greater than 3.4. Now notice something. String or text fields are enclosed in quotes. Numeric fields are not enclosed in quotes. So notice that my greater than 3.4 just says greater than 3.4. And I just wipe myself out. There we go. Okay, so I'm now asking for two fields. I'm saying I want the major of CI and I want the GPA that is greater than 3.4. Now these two things are in a AND relationship. This and this has to be true. So if they're both on the criteria line, it's an AND relationship. This and this have to be true. And if I go and run this one, and you can hit run or you can hit this view, I'm only seeing the CI students that have a GPA greater than 3.4. CI and GPA greater than 3.4. Okay. So I am only seeing the ones that meet those criteria. So whatever you chose to put in there, depending on your data, you may see 3, 2, 1, whatever. Okay. So what I was asking here, and this is a logic flowchart, I was asking, is the major equal to CI? And computers are yes-no things, unless you get into artificial intelligence. Okay? It's either yes or it's no. There's no maybe. Okay? It's yes or it's no. So if the major is equal to CI, Then I want to ask, is the GPA greater than 3.4? And if I get a yes to both of those, I want to display the record. If I get a no, then I want to do nothing, i.e. I don't want to display. And if I get a no over there, I want to do nothing, and then I don't want to display. So I only want to see records where the major is CI and the GPA is greater than 3.4. To be continued on Thursday.